Constitution speaks of speech that's free. Open your mouth from sea to shining sea. So will the real Americans please stand up? No more hiding your face in the sand. Will the real Americans please stand up?
I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Something ain't right when politicians take from you and me the very liberties that set us free. Open fight.
Welcome back to the broadcast, my friends. That's very interesting. Thanks for joining us on the RBN Network. It's Eric the Freedom Screamer. We got Lori, Carrie, and Chris on tonight. Where else are you going to get music like this? You're going from patriotic to Sammy Davis to Jesus Christ Superstar. We thank you, Mike, for spinning some great tunes. So thanks for joining us tonight. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 1-800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. I'm going to turn down my fan so we don't get too much background noise here. So I would ask our guests to go on mute if you're not talking, or throw a sock over the phone or do something to muffle it a little bit so we don't get too much background noise. And as soon as I'm done talking, I'm going to go on mute. Lori, let's turn it over to you. Tell us what's going on. I wasn't too happy what I heard from Bannon. I've got some, you know, it's... Oh, one quick thing before you take over, Lori. Tom LaCavara's sentencing is on October 18th. That's okay. In a couple of weeks. So everybody look forward to that. And so on the 18th, we're expecting to have, I think what's going to happen, I'm not sure of this, but from what I can gather, he's going to be sentenced to time served plus 3 months. And I think the 3 months, they're going to try to get him in like a halfway house situation.
Oh, I hope so.
And so he won't be kind of like walking totally out of the witch's custody, but he'll be at least out of the witch's prison and in a witch's halfway house. And at that point,
I can't wait to hear from him again.
Back on the radio and in whatever capacity he and John Stadtmiller agreed to, and then I'll be either put out to pasture, or we'll see what happens with Eric the Freedom Screamer. I'll willingly and happily go whichever direction those guys want me to go, either way. So, you know, Tom, we're looking for Tom to get out in a couple weeks on the 18th. Glorious day that'll be, and I hope that we can get him on the air soon after that.
Amen. Right. Amen. I will be all too happy and thrilled when Tom is able to get back on the show and get it his voice once again out there. He is an amazing person. And I love him dearly. He's my brother in Christ. And I pray for him each and every day. Wow, there's so much to tell you about tonight, Eric. So tonight I'm not going to do the normal that I normally do. I'm going to hit some topics that I believe are going to be very helpful to the listeners. But it's not something that's in mainline news. However, Eric, let me tell you about something. I'm going to
Want. By the way, tell you, we don't. Yeah, that's great because we don't want mainline news here. That's the same old crap we hear everywhere else. We want something a little bit that we haven't heard. So great, Lori, go ahead and I'll shut up.
Sure. So first, I just want to say, Chris, I said this earlier in the show, and I mean this. Last night I felt a spiritual, oh, man, it was so awesome. And God's spirit is moving. I feel it so strongly. And I felt the satanic spiritual oppression that is around just lift, you know, and something huge is about to happen. So I'm really glad to hear what you just reported. God is great. God is great.
Oh, absolutely. And I did a Psalms 911 today.
Awesome. I love it. And we love Jesus, who, if it was not for him, we would all be doomed. So, interestingly enough, guys, I read an email, and I'm not even going to go into detail of the email, but, you know, I want to say this. Sometimes individuals have no unearthly idea what I do or what Eric does behind the scenes. Sometimes, because we don't boast about what we do. And I'll tell you the reason I personally do not boast about everything that I do. And it's called the Word of God. It's Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. And it says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Let thine alms be may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when we pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore pray ye, O Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And I just want to say that one of the emails used a word of hypocrite. And be careful using that word when you do not personally know someone nor know what they truly do. And I assure you, everything that I do out of the pureness of my heart, and I do much more than what many people realize, and they will probably never realize because I don't speak it on air, and I'm not going to shout it to the rooftops, because God is the one who rewards me, and I will leave that at that. Now, to get on to the other subject, Eric and Chris, I figure I am going to bring tonight some solutions. How about that? We have, as you know, many, many parents and individuals fight against Common Core and fight against the computers itself.
You're going to do the letter. Oh, this is great that you're going to do the letter. I almost forgot. Yeah, this is awesome. I'm really excited about this. Hey, people, I just want to let you know, okay, what Lori's about to read to you is a can I just give them a title? And I mean, my own description, really, in like
sure.
two words, so they know.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
It's going to be your, this is going to be your, I don't want to use the word opt out, because that's the wrong word. It's refusal. The schools always say you can't opt out of a vaccine, but you can refuse it. They play some magical word game, Masonic word games with you. I've seen it happen here in upstate New York. People, housewives have gone through it. The local radio talk show host went through it, and she's talked about it on the air as well. So what I'm going to title this is your refusal letter for your child to be forced to use computers in the classroom in lieu of written material. And I'll just leave it at that. It's a refusal, and it's your immunization letter from mandatory computerization of your child in the public school system. Lori, go ahead.
Sure. So to set this up a little bit, I help and volunteer with a lot of children, and this child is not my biological child, but it is my child. Let me tell you. And I am very proud of this individual. Before I go into this letter, I want to make something clear. This is a solution, and that is why I am sharing this. However, I also want to make something clear. I'm not going to give the state. I'm not going to give the school name. I'm not going to give the teacher, and I'm not going to give the child's name. And I'll tell you why.
Yeah, it's a name change to protect the innocent.
Right, and when you have an issue, this is important. Parents, you need to understand this. I know sometimes it gets frustrating, but when you have an issue, you know the old saying, you can't fix what you don't know is broken. Some of these teachers do not know that that situation is broken. You need to start from the bottom up. You need to communicate with them, and you need to give them ample opportunity to fix the situation before you take it higher. Then in that aspect, you have given them not only notice, be respectful, but firm, and you've also given the opportunity for them to change their behavior once they see why or what you are standing for. This teacher did change her behavior. As a matter of fact, so much so that now the situation originally was that this child was in, and this is a public school system, and this child was told, along with the entire class, was told that this specific assignment was a only computer assignment. This child was told that if anything was turned in writing, that 5 points would be docked off of the child's grade simply because it was on paper and not on the computer.
That's a terroristic threat. Terroristic threat. It needs to be used right on them. Oh, man, that pisses me off. Go ahead, Lori.
So, right. So this was the only child that the father has opted out, doesn't want anything to do with it because the father knows about the retina scans. The father knows about the pulse reading. He knows about the grit and tenacity and perseverance. If you don't know about that, look that up. You can go to my Google Plus site. All you have to do is type in LoriAnderson.com. It's in the, under the Resurrect the Republic, and you can find it. So we fast forward. He came to me, and he let me know that there may or may not be a situation. Now, this child has a 4.298 GPA, okay? Higher than a 4.0. So, when the teacher made that statement, of course, that even more concerned this child because this child really does care about his grades. He has goals, and he absolutely, rightfully so, deserves all the points if he turns his assignment in, whether it be on computer or on paper. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you correspondence between myself and the teacher. And I do want to reiterate again, the teacher did correct and is no longer is allowing him to do things on paper. And as reported to me today, as a matter of fact, Eric, which was really great, now there are other children in that class turning in assignments on paper.
Oh, nice. See, freedom is catchy. That is, freedom is catchy. And she ceased it and desisted making terroristic threats to penalize the poor kid who's got a over perfect score of 4.0. That means he's probably smarter than the teacher is. And she's telling him she's going to dock him 5 points if he turns in the organic handwritten document, the real creation, instead of the sterilized computer piece of toilet paper garbage with an artificial printout? Go ahead, Lori.
Well, so I'm going to read to you first her email to me, and then I'm going to read to you all my response. So her email begins, "Miss Anderson, I understand," and I'm changing names, by the way, so they're going to be fictitious names I'm saying on this, just letting you know. "Miss Anderson, I understand that you and your husband have decided against letting Bobby access a computer at school. Bobby wasn't able to give much detail, and he asked if I could email you to explain the impact it will have this year. I tried to phone you yesterday, but was unable to reach you. Because we are a one-to-one computer school, it is the expectation that we utilize technology frequently in the classroom. Therefore, there are many assignments that require a computer in my class. For example, this Friday, the students will be taking an online reading diagnostic that will help me develop lessons to foster growth throughout the year. This diagnostic is not available on paper. I would regret not having accurate information about Bobby's reading comprehension and vocabulary acquisition. We will also be gathering information about various topics throughout the year during class time, and a computer is necessary to effectively do so. We will take certain quizzes via Progress Book, the online grade book that all students can access and for which they can receive immediate feedback. As you may know, all of the graduation tests are taken online. He will have to access the testing portal at school, or he will not be able to take them because there is no paper version."
Oh, BS.
I understand he has access at home, but not all assignments and requirements are able to be completed outside of school. If I can help with any concerns, I am more than willing. Have a good night, teacher so-and-so." So, now I read
teacher
to
X.
You.
That, now, that was a form, yeah, that's a form letter written by the attorneys that make it look like it's coming from her, just so you know. And go ahead and read the letter that you responded. Now, people, listen carefully, take notes. Lori's going to read you a response to that BS garbage that the teacher said, "I'm sorry, you know, but I wouldn't want to get things incorrect. And, of course, I got to make my job easier. So have Johnny or Susie do everything on the idiot computer and make my life easier and play right into the government databasing." So Betsy DeVos, who's the Secretary of Education under Trump, can also increase her supply of brain databasing at her company, which is called NeuroCore. NeuroCore. Look into it. And look into the NeuroTor, the most advanced brain monitoring device in the world, whose patent was sold to the Israeli aircraft industries. And so with that, we'll go back to you, Lori. Now,
sure.
Take notes, people. I wanted to chew up a minute there so you could all get your pens and paper out and take notes. And this is a great form letter. I would suggest people use this when you want to get your kid out of this threats and intimidation that they have to do everything on the computer. They do not. They can do it in writing. And as Lori said, this kid's probably smarter than the teacher is. And all the other kids children are catching on now and doing things in organic handwritten form, which is far more educational because it's hands-on instead of just pushing buttons. And it's probably a lot healthier with the what we know about computers.
Right.
So, Lori,
and,
go ahead.
So this is my response to the teacher. "Hello, Miss X. Thank you for your email. Now to address several issues with the computer assignment situation. First, Bobby will not be allowed to access any of the computers, nor will his information be allowed to be put into those computer systems. That information gives complete access to a third party with no privacy guarantee. As your school is not willing to be held accountable, if any of his information gets out via the third party, he will not be utilizing that resource. Reference, read the computer permissions that parents must sign in order for the children to receive laptops." Unquote. Second, It is a benefit and not a requirement to have the laptop and access to the computers. Simply put, the only requirement is that teachers teach the children in their classes and children do their assignments. That is what you and all teachers are paid to do. Not trying to be rude, however, simply because it makes it a little less convenient and his assignment is not as quickly accessible, is no excuse to pressure a student into thinking that they must have a laptop and access to your teaching methods. You are a highly intelligent teacher. I have no doubt you will be able to figure out how to get Bobby his tests, assignments, etc., without it being on a computer, just as all his other teachers have. I have read the Department of Education grit and tenacity and perseverance and refuse to have him involved with that programming data collection, which has been exposed for what it really is, a huge violation of privacy and data mining. Others may not be as concerned over this, however, I am not others, especially when Bobby's situation with his biological mother is one of serious safety concerns. Bobby has informed me you stated you would dock him 5 points if it wasn't done on the computer. I do hope this is a miscommunication, as I am sure that no teacher would dock a student for doing their work simply because you had to do a little bit more preparation. If that is the case, please be sure to let me know what justification you possibly have for stating that, including rules, regulations, and law. I would personally suggest that you not rely so heavily on the computers in your class. What would you possibly be able to do to teach the students if the Wi-Fi went out or the power went down, such as happening currently in Florida? I understand simply by your statements you are used to everyone conforming to the norm. However, I assure you, I expect Bobby to receive his work printed or otherwise, for him to get his full credit for any and all work he completes. If he doesn't, then I have no problem taking this higher. Example, principal, school board, etc. Bobby has above a 4.0 GPA last year and is highly intelligent. He works hard to make sure his grades are top-notch and works hard to obtain his goals. To threaten him that his grades will drop simply because it isn't convenient or as fast for you to check his papers or work in the same manner you do others is not only shameful, but is a form of social bullying from a person whom he is supposed to be able to respect and look up to. I will not allow him to be bullied socially into doing something that he is not allowed to do. I will not allow him to be stressed, possibly causing his grades to drop, because he thinks that you can and will make his grades drop due to your rules. I assure you that he will not be taking state testing, not on the computer nor paper. I have already been informed that once the tests taken on paper are handed in, they are then just scanned into the computers anyway. Thus, his information is still placed into an unsecured system. He will be opted out of state testing just as he has been for several years. Those tests are not about anything but funding, and I know all about them. I would appreciate a response as soon as possible, so I know my next step. I truly do wish to work with you on the many things we discussed over the phone. However, this is the one thing that I will not bend on. Unless you, the school board, and the school are willing to sign a contract with me, guaranteeing that no third party will have access to his information will stay inside the school only, and that he will not have any of his information leaked, hacked, or released, that you also agree if Bobby's information is leaked, hacked, released, that you, the school, and the school board members will each be responsible for $1 million per leak, for damages to his privacy, and possibly putting his life in danger, then this issue of computer use is closed. I would require each of you to personally sign this liability contract before I would agree to the use of the computers. Or you can simply do all as all other teachers do, work with us and to print off or allow him to write his assignments on paper, do them, turn them in, and you grade his assignments, giving him full credit for his work that he earned. And then I placed references to the OPM data breach, the FAFSA data breach, the Grit and Tenacity documents, and the Department of Education retaliation civil rights for students in the Department of Education in the link, and said, thank you, Lori Anderson. Since
that's beautiful. I was on mute. I was hysterically laughing. That's beautiful. That goes up. That kicks them right in the nads. I love it. You're going to make them sign an indemnity for $1 million if his information gets compromised. I mean, that's awesome. Of course, they're not going to do it, but you let them know that you know what you're talking about. And I highly recommend that everybody use that letter or something very close to it if you want to get your kid out of this mandatory, computerization of your child.
Right. And, the very next day, when Bobby went to school, the teacher X was not there, but a substitute was. But teacher X left a note for the substitute, and the note was for the substitute to let Bobby know that you are not to go to the library and take that mandatory test, that you will be doing all of your assignments in writing. And she has been very graceful. She's not acted in retaliation. She has been very, very polite and nice with Bobby. So therefore, that is also why I'm not putting her name out there. Sometimes it just takes starting at the lower level before you work up, because, when you have an issue with someone, you need to take it to that person. That's Bible. So when you do that, you then give them the opportunity to fix the issue and do what is right or not. And if they do what is right, at least you have given them that opportunity. So when you go to the next step, when they have refused to fix that, the first thing they ask is, well, did you contact them and let them try to fix the situation? You can honestly say, yes, I have. Then you have standing because you did try to fix the situation and reach out. And I will say I am really pleased, very pleased with the way that the teacher responded and Bobby feels very comfortable now. And it was really, really good to hear today that other children are now starting to turn schoolwork in on paper. So that is an idea of how to fix some of the issues.
That is good news. I like that. That's fix local right there. Buy local, fix local. Buy local, fix local. I'm always saying that. That's fix local right there. We'll be right back with Lori and her solutions, as well as Gary and Chris. Thanks for joining us. Call at 800-313-9443. We got another 30 minutes. See you on the other side of this break. It's Eric on the RBN Network.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite. folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Friends, welcome back to the broadcast. It's Eric the Freedom Screamer with Lori and Gary and Chris and everybody out there. Feel free to call in 800-313-9443. I'm kind of glad nobody called yet because I really wanted to talk about Lori's letter. It's awesome. It's got some real meat and potatoes in there. It's very thorough. Look what the outcome was. The teacher backed off, said she's not going to be either penalizing either requiring the computerized schoolwork, nor is she going to be penalizing him or anybody else, which is nothing more than making terrorist threats. I thought that was obscene, and they've been getting away with this until people like Lori stand up and say no. Back to you, Lori.
Well, you know, and I think a lot of people don't realize that sometimes it is the individual teacher, but a lot of times this is stuff that comes from top down. This is the narrative that's pushed into the teachers' heads as well. They have to do this. They have to do this, because if you don't do this, you're not going to remain a teacher, blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of teachers that have spoken out that have quit the public school systems because of the pressure, and because they're getting pressure from the parents who don't want to deal and go along with Common Core and the data mining and all of this. And they're hearing them, and then they're getting pressure from the different school boards or the state or whatever the case may be, and they're like in the middle of an Oreo sometimes. Now, it's not always the case, but a lot of teachers have spoken out about that. And then when they do stand up for what is right, a lot of them are demonized by whether it be the school board. And, you know, you've just seen a lot of stuff over the years of when the teachers stand up and don't repeat the repetitive malarkey, then they get sanctioned, or they get quote unquote suspended.
Okay.
Or, you know what I mean?
Here. Yeah, I do. And I want to jump in here because this needs to be said. Okay. Now, we can agree this teacher did not make up, this is not her own idea to turn the whole, you know, world, starting with her class, turn the whole world into a computerized databasing nightmare where everything is done online and you know who has access to the information, anybody and everybody. So we just know all the litany of reasons why there should not be, you know, mandatory computerization of children and their work in the schools. Okay, so we know it's not the teacher's idea. This is not even the local school district, although it's them enforcing it and enacting it at their local level. They're the ultimate executioner and number one to blame. But ultimately, these directives are coming from Washington. They're coming from corporate America.
Above that. It's coming
exactly,
from
and that's why I just said corporate America. Right, I'm walking up the pyramid. Teacher, okay, not her stupid idea. She's just a bootlicker going to follow the rules. School district, they're just doing what the federalization guidelines are saying because they want the money that goes with it. And then you step up into Washington where the high-level executioners and witches are, and then it's outside that, up one more to the, a little bit higher toward the capstone, which we won't have to go all the way because there'll be a few more steps. But let's just suffice to say the next step above Washington is the multinational corporations. And who is the multinational corporate officer in charge of the Department of Education? Betsy DeVos, who owns NeuroCore, who owns the highest, most advanced brain monitoring system in the world. And look what's going on. They're monitoring everything. And, boy, you got her in charge of the children. That's scary. This stuff was all supposed to go away under Trump, and it's getting worse. But you had a victory, Lori, and this is awesome.
Well, this, too, I'm going to warn parents, too, about this. When you get your student handbooks, read them. I know that sometimes it seems tedious, but read them. It is important. Just like this specific school that I'm talking about, everybody in the area thinks it is a city school, right? Just a regular city public school. But on the handbook, it openly admits, okay, that it is a STEM school, an international baccalaureate world school. So,
okay.
Yes, this is UN Agenda 21 connected. And in a great way, though, many of the teachers I have spoken with actually...
you see it your way.
Right. And... so I want to let you know, when you get those boring student handbooks, pay attention to what's on the front. Pay attention.
Yeah.
Read every boring thing that is inside there. Because we have to remember that every one of us are born with unalienable rights. You need to instill that in the children. And when their unalienable rights are attacked, you need to stand up for their unalienable rights. Thus, when they become adults, they're going to stand up for others' unalienable rights. And they might do it before they're adults. Bobby has several times stood up for other people's unalienable rights, and it's because Bobby has learned this. So there are many different ways to make a difference. You don't have to be snide and rude, but be factual, be complete, be unmovable. If your stance is unmovable, if you're determined that you're not going to allow this to happen, check the paperwork, because I'm telling you, you voluntarily sign that paperwork. They cannot force you to sign that paperwork. If you don't agree with something in the handbook and they say, the student's going to get in trouble if they don't turn this in, no, they're not. It's a handbook. And if you decide to turn it in on the paper that you sign or autograph, depending on how you look at it, what you do is you put on there what you will not and do not agree with and will not consent to in that student handbook. Because once you do that, it's on their record. They can't hold you to that contract if you have not agreed to that part of the contract. It's just like contract. So please remember that. Go ahead.
If you don't mind, what you're describing are precisely the tactics of Howard and Pliven. Pressure from above, pressure from below, to guide and force them to go to the policy decisions they want implemented. This is a very insidious form of mind control, psyops mind control, also known psychopolitical warfare by Kenneth Goff, which is a form of using mental healing and mind control to take over America under the guise of psychiatric, psychological, and sociological management. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. Now, I do have, Eric, I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm going to tell you. I feel kind of good about what I'm getting ready to tell you.
All right.
Roy Moore, let me tell you, former judge out of Alabama, he was running against Senator Luther Strange to take Jeff Sessions' seat. And why is this so huge? This is huge for several reasons. Luther Strange was backed by Trump and the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Oh, joy.
Now, need I say any more? Okay? Judge Roy Moore, from everything I know, I'm not saying I know everything. I'm not saying that he's a perfect man. Nobody's perfect. Okay? But, Eric, I listened to several of the speeches that he gave before he won.
Yeah.
Okay?
I know. He's just talks a good game. I mean, he talks a good game. His best case scenario is he's a repentant witch, but he's definitely better than the alternative.
Well, he does know about the natural rights and openly and happily expresses that. So I wanted to share with you and the audience Roy Moore's victory speech that he won. And I'm of course, we don't trust 100%, but we watch. And we will give benefit of the doubt, and we will watch, and, you know, it may be the best thing since sliced bread, or it may be another whatever. But the vote count, Roy Moore won at 54.6% of the vote, and Strange got 218,066 votes, and Roy Moore, 262,204 votes. Congratulations. Judge Roy Moore, or now I should say Senator Roy Moore. And I would like to say we hope and we will pray for you, because we're supposed to pray for our leaders. We're supposed to pray for those that are in positions of power, and we're supposed to pray for our neighbors and everybody else. So we will keep you in our prayers. But I also want to say I hope you stick to what you said in your speeches, because if you stick to the natural rights and the Constitution, you'll gain a lot more supporters. If you would, Mike, go ahead and play Roy Moore's victory speech, and then right after that, we'll get to our callers.
To be recognized, Thomas here is done. Thomas Sparrow has done a wonderful job. I like to say I taught this guy to run, but I didn't. This is Saran Stacy. He's done a great job. And of course, my chairman. Got to have a chairman, and this guy's the best in Alabama.
All right.
Bill Armistead. Brett Doster. John Walls. Y'all give them a hand. But you know, there's Rich Hobson's here somewhere. I don't know where he got. My good friend Dean Young, Mr. Brant Frost and his daughters, Katie, and somewhere I've missed the Ford family. That's half the. There they are, right there. Give the Ford family. And I have my security man for 15 years. He's come back to visit me. This is Leonard Holyfield. There's one you don't see up here. Let me just tell you, he's done more for my campaign than anybody. And that's Almighty God.
Amen.
I want everybody to understand that when I talk about God in this campaign, I've never prayed to win this campaign. I've only prayed that God's will be done. Because I think you can sometimes win on your own, and it's not a good thing. And sometimes you can lose, and it's the best thing. But the best thing we can do is put it in the hands of the Almighty. And as Saran was saying, there's nothing too great for God. For one day every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain or hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. You know, we're put here on earth for a short time. And for that short time, our duty is to serve Almighty God and to acknowledge Him in all things. I've just been talking. I've talked to the governor who's congratulated me, Governor Ivey. I've talked to Mr. Strange, who has recognized that I've won and that he would work with me. I've talked to Senator Lee, Senator Paul, Rand Paul, and Senator Cruz, and various others that are important in our government. Together we can make America great. We can support the president. Don't let anybody in the press think that because he supported my opponent that I do not support him and support his agenda.
Uh-oh.
As long as it's constitutional, as long as it advances our society, our culture, our country, I will be supportive. As long as it's constitutional. But we have to return the knowledge of God and the Constitution of the United States to the United States Congress. I believe we can make America great, but we must make America good, and you cannot make America good without acknowledging the sovereign source of that goodness, the sovereign source of our law, liberty, and government, which is Almighty God. We have become a nation that has distanced ourselves from the very foundation. Washington said that of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. We've got to recognize that we've been separated by something that separation of church and state doesn't stand for. It doesn't separate us from God. Nothing can separate us from God. We are one nation under God, and we can become one nation unified. There's so much division in our society. Protest. Demonstrations. Mobs. Racial strife. But we're all created in the image of God.
Hold on. Can we stop it right there? Hold on. I'm not going to let him get away with that crap on my program. No way. Listen to what he said.
Protests and demonstrations. I listened to the whole thing.
Protests, demonstrations, and bombs.
He said mobs.
What did he say? Mobs?
Yes.
Just as bad.
There is mobs.
Here's my point. He's demonizing. I know where he's going. Dana Loesch did the same thing in the NRA commercial. You want to send me into a total tailspin, just play a neocon, but hypocritically telling us out of one corner of his mouth that he's all about God, and out of the other corner of his forked tongue, he supports Donald Trump, the godless pimp who has nothing to do with repentance, who said right in public, I don't bring God into the forgiveness thing. I shut God out of forgiveness. I'm not repentant at all. I'm
Eric,
Donald Trump, and we're just going to move forward and make it right. Yeah?
Number one, he said he will support him as long as it is constitutional. He has also stated... Everything he has done has not been unconstitutional. Now, that's not true.
All right.
On the other note, he's... talking about the mobs. There is mobs. For us not to sit there and we stop it because he's talking about mobs that are happening where people are getting beaten and run over and all this junk that is provided by George Soros.
I'm not defending that. I'm saying he's capitalizing on that chaos in a perfect order out of chaos fashion by
not really because he
protests.
Made the statement that federal judges need to be gone after. Because of their unlawful activities. So anyway, that's irrelevant. But you need to be able to hear people out, Eric. I love you dearly. You know that. But you need to be able to hear people out
Listen, when I hear beat, it's not against. This is not directed against you. This is him. Mr. Witch is purporting a lot of BS. So I need to interject and say. My listeners, I need to counteract that with another argument. And I'll tell you right now, the launching of 59 cruise missiles on Syria was constitutional, eh?
No, that was unconstitutional. I spoke out against that.
I could run down 100 things that were unconstitutional, and you could maybe give me 3 or 4 that were constitutional. I'll bet you dollars to donuts.
More than that, but I'm not going to do that right now. I need to correct something.
And then do you notice how he goes back and forth from communist Trump?
Eric, I need to correct something real quick, and then you can finish, okay?
Yep.
I just need to correct something. He didn't win the Senate seat. What he did was he won the incumbent, and he's the front runner. And so he won, is now the front runner to win the seat on December the 12th in the general election. So I needed to correct that. Before we went too far, it's almost at the end of the show, and we also have some callers. So go ahead and finish now that I've corrected that. I just wanted to correct that because I made a misstatement earlier.
If you're going to play more of him, I'm going to do it again. But if we want to get right to the callers, I've said my piece.
Okay, well, how are you doing tonight, Brad?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I just wanted to call in on a different subject, but change it for a minute.
Okay.
I tried to call in to Eric a few days ago. They never took my call, but Gary was offering up his what they call Paul bashing. How Paul was an evil infiltrator into the church. Now, Eric, I want to ask
you. Paul?
Yes. Gary was bashing Paul.
I didn't hear that. Wow.
Well,
okay.
I clearly heard it. But I just want to remind Eric, if he wants Gary to pray for him, here's a man who you must tear out of your Bibles all the following epistles. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Then you have to tear out of your Bible Acts chapter 9 through 28.
I don't think he's saying tear anything out of the Bible. He's just qualifying Paul as the 13th, if you want to call him an apostle, okay. But if the Messiah was the replacement for Judas, then Apollos is more than a disciple.
Jesus, and now I'm going to jump in here. Jesus is the one who appointed Paul as an apostle. So that's not us. Now, on top of that, Eric, what the caller is saying, the reason he is saying that, because you have the four Gospels, and then you have the Book of Acts, which are Actions of the Apostles, and then you have the Ephesians and Galatians and all of the other ones, and Apostle Paul wrote those. They were letters to the churches that received the Holy Ghost in the Book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. Correct, Paul?
Okay, let me get Gary's. Hold on.
I'll answer that quickly. Yes. Okay, Gary's right.
Gary's reply.
Or the Bible's. Paul's right. The epistles of Paul are right, or Gary's right. I'm going to go with the epistles of Paul.
Gary,
because
do you have a
Gary is
to all
not.
Gary, did you catch this? Would you like to respond, Gary, if you're still there? We might have put Gary to sleep. Gary, come on off mute and come in if you want. We got about 2 minutes left. Everybody has their analysis of the scripture. Gary, are you with us? I wanted to let Gary have a say on this.
I'll say a last thing and hang up. The only reason you made that last statement is because you're all given over to interpretation instead of belief. You're all in unbelief.
Are you talking to me? Because I'm agreeing with you, Brad.
I'm talking
to Eric. Freedom
Street. I was just checking.
Look, knowing that there's over 150, if not, I imagine it's over 200 now. This was an old number. Patents on new Bibles where words, extremely important words, have been changed throughout the ages. They've changed virgin to maiden and a whole bunch of other stuff that's created fundamental manipulation of the scriptures.
We had a perfectly sound Bible in the King James for 350 years. Then they began to change it beginning in 1881. These hundreds of versions have only come in the last 136 years. So you're inaccurate in that. There's nothing wrong with the English language. It's all preserved, just as God promised. All you have to do is get a good concordance, get a strong concordance, and a King James Bible with the center column reference, and you can learn the truth.
Thank you, Brad. I appreciate that input. Thank you, Lori. I appreciate everybody joining us tonight. It's Eric with Gary and Chris and Lori. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again tomorrow night on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Don't forget to support the network. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Good night, everyone.
I would be happy just to hold the hands I love on this winter night with you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage